Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
All right, voice disguise are on.
Sir.
All right, we are going to call Burt Show listener John. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Burt Show.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well. For the most part.
I do not have your email here in front of me. I have conveniently lost that. But Tracy said that you kind of have this almost, it's almost a tragedy going on in your life with your girlfriend at this point.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
How long y'all been going out?
About 2 years now.
2 years. All right, give us like the definition. Like, you really are in love with this girl, or is this just, it's not as deep as I'm making it out to be?
I mean, She's the woman of my dreams. She really is. Everything about her I love. I mean, there's nothing that she can say or do, you know, and my end, she's just perfect. She's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. So this is really the woman that you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with?
I mean, I bought a ring. I mean, I'm to that point.
Wow.
You know, and I've just been holding off on things because I have some concerns about the relationship.
Okay. All right, let's talk about those.
Well, I guess, you know, what I would consider the four key components of a relationship, like the spiritual, emotional, physical, and intellectual, mm-hmm. well, we share the best of mostly all of them except for the physical
mm-hmm.
side of things. Please don't take me wrong. She's beautiful. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. The problem is that I don't think she's really that good in bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've tried, you know, we've been dating for 2 years, and of course, we've had relations. You know, that's why I can say that she's not good in bed. Mm-hmm. But I tried to give some instructions. You know, and say, hey, you know, this works, this doesn't work, and I've asked for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, you know, what is it that I can do to improve, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's come to the point where at times I try to avoid that may lead us getting into bed.
Mm.
Because it's almost like a disappointment for me.
Is it just like routine, or is it when she's trying to do things, she's just really, really bad?
Well, that's one thing. It's not really she's not trying to do things, but it is routine. It's the same thing over and over again. I like to, you know, I like spontaneity. I like to try different things or mm-hmm. whatever. And for her, it's more or less the, you know, the old thing, I guess.
It's the what thing?
Just, you know, the same style over and over again. You know, mm-hmm. it's one way, basically.
Now, some people just have a problem, like, are not as comfortable with sex as other people are. And in your discussions with her, has she brought up the fact that she just doesn't feel comfortable, you know, being intimate?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because usually routine, if a woman does the same thing over and over again, to me it seems like she just has a problem with it. And is she the type of woman that just wants to get it over with?
No, I mean, as far as when the act is going on, for lack of a better way of putting it, I don't know what's okay to say on the radio, but for when everything is going on, I mean, it's just, you know, she'll initiate things. Mm-hmm. But when things are going on, it's like all of a sudden it just dies real fast.
So I'm just trying to establish how much you've tried to make this a good part of your relationship. Have you seen somebody about it? Have you guys had a lot of conversations about it?
I mean, we talk about it. Again, I am the type of person, I like to take care of the person I'm with, you know, more than me being taken care of. Mm-hmm. So I try to get, you know, say, well, what is it that you like? Tell me, you know, what can I do? How can I change things around? And, you know, kind of by changing things around, by getting her opinion, kind of makes it better for me too, you know, because it's like, okay, it's something different, but it's not that way. It's not that way with her.
I think, like, your first thought is like, wow, she's great in every other way. I mean, guys, sounds kind of superficial, but that I don't think you can understate how important that part of your relationship is, especially when you're staring at forever, you know?
Yeah, I'm the type of person that's a very important part of the relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can totally understand the frustration, but I would hate to see this go away just because of that. Like, there's got to be a way, like Bert was, you know, prodding with about therapy and that kind of thing. There's got to be a way to fix it because everything else is so great.
John, let me take a couple of calls for you. I'm going to put you on the voice disguiser. I mean, I'm going to put you on hold because I can't put other calls on with you without everybody being on the voice disguiser, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, hold on, and then we'll come back to you. All right, so in essence here, John's got, he's been going out with this girl for 2 years. He thinks she's great in every way. I mean, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. They're, like, together, man. He's bought the ring. He's ready to do this, but their sex life is pretty bad. And while they haven't seen anybody about it, he thinks they've had conversations, and he's almost to a point where he thinks, you know what? She is what she is. I guess the first question is, A, can they do anything about it? And what would your advice be if, like, let's just say this is an area she's just never going to be good at.
Mm-hmm.
Bert Weiss, am never going to be good at organizing things.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I just don't have it. As much and as many classes as I take, I could sit down with an organizing therapist for the next 5 weeks. I just don't think that way. So
like
let's
some of the American Idol people, they come back year after year, but they just can't sing.
They still suck.
what if no matter how many times she goes to the audition, she just can't get her done?
So if
you didn't.
If that's the case with her, is it a big enough deal to where he should let her go and try to find somebody else? Hey, Sarah, you're on the Bert Show on All the Hits Q100. What kind of advice do you have for John?
Hi, good morning. I'd like to say to John, move on. I mean, I hate to say it, but it sounds like he's just setting himself up for some trouble in the future. And he knows it now. It's only been 2 years. And there's so many people out there. Maybe he just hasn't found the right one.
I think I would handle it like any other problem in a relationship. Like, I would go 110% to correct it. I would do everything I could.
But he's only dated her for 2 years. It's not like they're married already and then, you know, they've come into problems. This is the start of it.
But he called her the woman of his dreams. He's bought the ring. He really wants this to be the one for him, you know?
I don't think he knows which one's the one for him yet. Honestly.
What's that?
I don't think he knows that that's the one for him.
Okay.
I think, personally, and I've experienced this myself, he's going to end up out there having affairs.
You think so?
I do.
That's your fear?
Unfortunately, I mean, it's the way of life that a lot of people out there are doing it.
It's a big deal. I mean, I would put it right up there with the rest of them. Spirituality, emotional.
Yeah, I totally agree with Bert. I mean, passionate intimacy has to be a part of my life or I can't do it, and especially can't do it for the rest of my life.
Gwendolyn, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I wanted to say about the caller, John, that if he's been in a relationship for 2 years and he's tried to talk to her and it's just not getting any better, then it getting married is not going to help it. I mean, that's one of the main reasons that men cheat on their wives, because the sex isn't there.
I gotta agree with you on that. It's like, you know, I keep telling people that are about to get married too, because, you know, within a guy's world, we like to kid each other, but we're really kind of insecure that we're going to be with one woman for the rest of our life, and that scares us to death, right?
It's just setting himself up for failure.
The truth of the matter is that I think in most healthy marriages, the guys that I've talked to say that the sex has gotten better and better and better the longer you have sex with one person. So if they're 2 years into this and it hasn't improved in 2 years, I think that's kind of a big old red flag right there also.
Now, what about if, like, Crash, the sex is getting better, but it's not with his wife?
You'd have to ask Crash on that.
What does that mean for the marriage?
Yeah, that's a great point, because when you usually your first time with somebody is going to be awkward because you don't know each other too well, but yeah, after 2 years. And I wonder, and when we get John back on, I do want to ask if he thinks that she thinks he's good in bed.
Of course he does. All guys are good in bed.
Oh, of course. But I just wonder if she's as sad. I mean, if she's as disgruntled about that same part of their life. I wonder if their communication is that open.
Hey, Gina?
Yes.
Good morning. You're on the Burt Show on all the hits Q100.
Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys did great this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about sex.
Well, I think that, I mean, if everything's there, he has the ring, he feels in his heart that he wants this woman to spend the rest of his life with them, I think he needs to open the lines of communication with her about this, and they both get help. I mean, it's 2005.
Yeah.
You know, go have a discussion with somebody. If she loves him, then she, you know, she may be hurt, at least, you know, to hear that he feels this way. But if she loves him and he loves her, you know, everything's there. But that, you can so work through that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I don't feel like we're talking to a guy that's done absolutely everything he can before he throws this away.
Right.
Good morning, Tiffany. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Hi. I was just going to tell you, maybe he should dig a little deeper. Sometimes women that were sexually abused as children have a hard time later in life opening up in relationships.
Maybe. I don't even know if it has to be that extreme of a case. I just do think some women, you know, because we're taught to be suppressed about that part of our lives, some women never grow out of that. And I that's why I asked earlier if she has a weird thing about sex, you know?
Let's take one more call here from Clay, then we'll get John back on. Hey, Clay.
Hey, man.
You got a little bit of a different take on this?
Yeah. I've been married for 14 years, and my wife had some issues early on, too. And I've never called the radio show ever, but I listen to you guys every day.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no problem. And, I just thought when, you know, he was describing, you know, how she's just perfect for him, but the sex life really isn't there. I agree with the previous caller that a lot of times previous sexual issues, you know, could play a part in maybe her reluctance in bed. You know, whether it's abuse or a lack of self-esteem or whatever. But it's definitely something that can be worked through. But both people, I think, really need to be vulnerable about what really is the issue.
Clay, let me ask you this. Did you find yourself in this situation? And if you did, what did you do to make everything better?
You know, it's a little bit more complicated than a one or two-line answer, Bert. For me, it was basically just, you know, investing 100% of my efforts into making sure that she felt comfortable and that she could trust who I was, not just outside, but also in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think over time, you know, her inhibitions, you know, fell away to the point to where I think after 14 years, we've got the best sex life of anybody I know.
Awesome, man. Thank you for calling, Clay.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I definitely think it can be improved, and I think Clay hit on the perfect word for this. You have to make, both of you have to make yourselves vulnerable, you know, to make improvements, because that's what usually true intimacy is all about, vulnerability, and you have to trust your partner, and the best sex comes from when you can be at that vulnerable level. And I just, you know, wonder, that's why I asked if John's girlfriend feels as disgruntled about that part of their lives, because John can't go in there too confident thinking he's all great too if he's going to make this work.
We'll ask him in a second. This is really the last call.
Right.
I'm not kidding. This is the really I'm not kidding about it last call.
Well, that's another good one comes in. They're not going to take any more other than this one.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you?
Awesome. Thank you.
Good. I think that John, you know, I think people put way too much emphasis and pressure on about sex.
Uh-huh.
What? You know, I know when I was growing up, I'm 32 years old. It wasn't discussed in my house. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't something discussed by my parents. You know, and it's something I'm still, you know, I'm shaking right now. I can't believe I'm calling in and talking about this because, you know, but my husband and I, we've been together for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a fabulous relationship. And, you know, I think the guy just, you know, he found somebody. It's so hard to find somebody that you connect with on so many levels this day and age. You know, just take your time, discuss it. You will grow into comfort you know, with yourself, you know, with each other. But it takes time. You know, 2 years, that's not a lot of time for, you know, that kind of deep intimacy. And that, you know, it could be that she had some issues when she was younger, you know, or whatever. But don't walk out of that. That's just crazy
to walk out on somebody on that. As a couple that's been married 9 years, I'm going to ask you a very intimate question, because you said that sex really isn't that big a deal. How often are you having sex?
Oh, God. I can't answer that.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm freaking out that I'm calling you.
That's okay.
Just estimate.
You don't have to do that.
I can't answer that.
Okay, that's fine.
Did you have sex this past weekend?
Thank you for calling.
And I think she is a symbol. I think guys need to realize she symbolizes a lot of women. That sex wasn't talked to in the, you know, talked about in the house, especially for women. You don't have sex, you know, you stay a virgin till you're married. I mean, these are the first lessons we're taught about sex as young girls. So that's why I say, I wonder if John is doing everything he can, because a guy's a lot more liberal in thinking about sex. She is a perfect example of how a lot of women feel. She's shaking even talking about it, you know?
Hey, John?
Yes.
I guess Melissa's question is, has your girlfriend told you that she's pretty satisfied in that area?
No. Actually, that has not come up.
Okay. Because I think that to improve upon this, you have to realize that you may be just as bad for her as she is for you.
I agree. And that's kind of like why I'm calling, because, you know, somebody mentioned earlier, it may never work out to be that. I think Vernon mentioned that. It may never have to be that we are compatible in that part of our relationship. And because I kind of put a heavy emphasis on that part of the relationship, that's where I'm stuck in this position now.
I think this is really valid, man. I mean, you were saying that this is a priority for you. And if it's not, if this isn't going to be good, then you're not going to be a happily married man. But what I also would say to you is, if you were my best friend, Colin, I would say, I just don't think you've tried everything yet to make sure this is an area that you don't think that you can be successful in. Once you do that and 110% commit to it and really know this sucks, but it's just not going to happen, then I think you can make a pretty educated decision. But if you were my best friend, I would say keep that ring in your pocket right now.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm doing right now.
Go to therapy. I mean, you haven't tried therapy yet. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, sex for me is not just about sex in general. It's about, you know, being with the person that I'm attracted to, being with the person I love, and enhancing that relationship. And so, I mean, she's the, you know, woman of your dreams, and so it can even get better if you can work this out. But I agree with Bert. I don't think you've done enough.
And if she's great, and if you guys are totally compatible in every other area, then she, I think, would be open to you saying, you know what, we should probably see somebody about this.
And I would agree. You know, I'm all for that. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. You know, but my I guess this is kind of my problem in saying, well, how do you address with someone that, hey, I'm not satisfied in bed? Because, you know, I put on the show. I'm sorry?
I said, you don't have to give us any more details about that.
You know, I try to, you know, I'm like really into it, and the sad part is I'm not. And how do you say it's because of, how do you tell somebody that I don't think that you're that good? I need this part of our relationship to change.
Dude, if you're that good, if you guys are that compatible, what you say to her is going to be the right thing.
Right.
True.
Maybe have you considered, like, you know, you go ahead and marry her or whatever, but then you use, you know, one of the adult dating services or Craigslist or something and just find yourself a mistress?
Jeff, stop. Well, and when you say you put on a show,
I think solutions.
Women,
what are you doing?
Yeah, when you say you put on a show, that makes me even wonder more. Like, if she's seen through some of that. Like, she's not as dumb as you think.
Yeah,
you're not as good as you think you are.
I don't know. If there's...
I agree with her. It's definitely not that way.
You're not wearing costumes, are you?
I asked for feedback.
Yeah, I just don't think you've done it. I don't know if we're probably going to, we could beat a dead horse here over the next half an hour. John, I think that you just haven't seen it all the way through.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks
for
calling.
Good luck, John.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I think now's an important time to do the Dr. Phil disclaimer. That we're not, no one in here is Dr. Phil. No one has a PhD in anything.
We're not therapists.
We'll only talk to you like you guys were our friends, and our listeners will do the same thing. So take our advice or don't, but it's certainly not professional.
Correct.
That's for sure.
The Bert Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
We kind of debated this a little bit earlier this morning, but I want to give you late Burt Show listeners a shot at talking about this a little bit, because you're probably going to see it on other news stations today. I found my piece of paper with this woman's name on it. Janice Burke
uh-huh.
of Lilburn has got herself in a little trouble.
A little bit there in Lilburn.
With some of the parents of some students at Parkview High School. Mm-hmm. Her intentions were pretty good, and we talked about this months and months and months ago, and I don't know that our position has changed on it, but now that it's in the news, maybe we should talk about it again. We want to get your opinions on this, too. This was on WSB TV Channel 2 last night, and as the story goes, Janice's son is 18 years old, and I think from time to time we've heard about stories like this where the parent kind of feels like, look, my kid on the weekend or on prom night is probably going out and drinking. So what I would rather do is supply the alcohol in my own house that way, and I'll take their keys away from them. That way I can kind of just chaperone and oversee everything that's going on in a safe environment.
And make sure they don't drive drunk.
So Janice decided that she was going to do this in Lilburn, and now she's got like 15 different counts of providing alcohol to minors being thrown at her. I'm going to play this audio for you from WSB TV, and then I'll open up the phones.
The mother of a Parkview High School student says she was trying to be responsible when she agreed to chaperone her son's 18th birthday party. But the festivities included alcohol, and that's how the Lilburn mother ended up in jail. Channel 2's Alan Wong is live in Gwinnett County with details.
Well, Janice Burke went to jail, and now she's facing 15 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. But had she not chaperoned her son's party, Ms. Burke feared that he would have ended up out here drinking and driving.
In hindsight, what I would have done was not have the party at all, obviously.
But Janice Burke, the single mother of a Parkview High School senior, believes she was doing the right thing.
The children are going to drink no matter what. I wanted the children safe in my home so that I could protect them and that they could have a fun party.
That's why Ms. Burke agreed to chaperone her son's 18th birthday party. She would provide a keg of beer. But there would be restrictions.
We're going to limit the number of people. We are going to have everyone park on the hill so they won't be parked in front of neighbors' homes. And I was going to take all their keys, and everyone was going to spend the night.
Miss Burke considers herself a realist.
Children are going to try it. They're going to try alcohol, and more than likely they will try marijuana.
And that's why she says she chose to open her doors to her son's friends who were between 17 and 19 years of age.
If they're not here, then they're out on the streets endangering other people, endangering their own selves and other people's properties.
But Gwinnett County Police say Ms. Burke should have obtained parental permission to serve alcohol to each of the 15 underage guests. She did not.
I broke the law by providing alcohol to minors, but I also attempted to provide a safe environment.
Yeah, and to me, the only thing I think she's guilty of is just not getting the permission of the other parents. Like, I understand where she's coming from. I get that. But there's such a fine line here. And let me restate this also, that in Georgia, it is law, and I didn't know this until last night, that you can buy alcohol for underage kids if they're your own kids. Your own child, you can do that. And you can also buy alcohol for underage kids if you get the permission of those underage kids' parents, now, which I didn't know.
I wonder, well, I'm going off on a tangent. We can talk about that later. I just wonder if the law, if there's other things that contain alcohol that kids need, like medications or something. I wonder if that's in place because of that.
Good morning, Sarah. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, I guess how I think of this is, and I'm 27 years old, so I'm not, you know, that old, but I guess at 18, we have 18-year-olds in Iraq right now that are dying for us. Why can't they have a beer?
Well, that's not the law.
They're in a safe environment. They're with, you know, mother.
Well, because that's not the law.
There was some reason. I mean, the drinking age used to be 18 years ago, and they raised it to 21 for a reason. So, I mean, it used to be that way, and it didn't work.
I think that's focusing on the wrong argument, right, though, because the law says that you have to be 21 or you have to have the permission of the parents of the underage kids. So,
well, it might be a separate argument. I do agree. But if they're gonna have the law saying that you can fight at 18, then you need to drink at 18. If they want to do it the other way, they need to say you got to fight at 21.
Thank you for calling. 404-741-1005. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, I'm 17. Sorry, I'm a little sick, so it's a little hard for me to talk.
That's okay.
But I just wanted to say that I completely, I pride her for doing that because I feel like teenagers these days, they're getting alcohol younger and younger every day, and I feel like might as well make it safe because if they're not going to make it safe by taking keys, then they're going to do it somewhere else and possibly get in an accident and not be responsible.
What would your parents say if they knew that you were at one of these parties and the parent that was holding the party didn't get their permission? Because I don't think there's anything wrong with your argument. I just think you got to tell the parents first. So how would your mom and dad react?
I mean, I don't know. I can't say that my mom doesn't, you know, think that that's what I'm doing when I go out. I really believe that she'd rather me be responsible than not. You know, because I really think she agrees with me in that, you know, I mean, I'm going to do it either way, so why not go to a house and be, you know, if something, God forbid, went wrong, at least I'd have an adult that could take care of me.
Now, let me ask you this, because Janice here from Lilburn also mentioned in here, they're probably going to drink, they're probably going to smoke weed, so is there any difference to you?
Any difference of what?
Like, if you go to a party and, you know, the mom is there basically watching the kids drink, but she's also watching them smoke weed. Does that change for you at all?
I mean, I think weed and drinking alcohol is two completely different things, kind of. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's what was going on. I haven't really thought about weed because I think of that as a little bit more severe than alcohol. But, I mean, I think either way, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I can't separate the both of them. I just think that point blank, they're going to do it either way. So I feel like having an adult there who's taking keys, who's making sure that no one can leave if they're intoxicated, is completely better because they're going to do it either way.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think the problem is this particular parent, she's laughing about it and she's talking about how, you know, the booze is the same as weed. And, you know, we asked the question earlier, what if the kid didn't want to drink beer? What if he wanted to, you know, smoke weed? Then would she go buy it for him? Because, I mean, he can get in trouble. That's dangerous. Can end up in jail for buying it. Can end up with a ticket for buying it. So would she go buy it for him? Or, you know, and then would she let all of his friends hang out and smoke? You know, without the, like, it's just,
where do,
like,
you draw the line is your question?
It's not where do you draw the line. It's just that parents need to be, I don't like parents who try to be too friendly with their children.
I don't think that that's what this is about.
I totally do.
I think that this is trying to provide a safe environment for your kid.
If she was a responsible adult, then the phone call is between all the parents who would be attending the party, and the call would go something like, hey, listen, here's the deal. My son's turning 18. You know, they legally can't drink. But I have a feeling that, you know, that's what they're up to. So what do you think about having everybody over at the house and we'll let them drink and we'll let them crash and they're going to be partying in the basement. If you want to come hang out upstairs with me, you can. Mm-hmm. That's no problem. You can check in with them anytime, but I'm going to hold on to their keys until 12 noon the next day. You cool with that? What do you think about that? Good idea, bad idea? Like, that's what a responsible parent does. This woman, she's laughing through the whole thing. She's just trying to be the cool mom who serves beer at her house, and I think that's ridiculous.
Well, what if she knows that the other parents wouldn't let the kids attend her party, and therefore, you know, her son's going to be left without an 18th birthday party, which means they're going to hold a party somewhere else where there aren't any adults.
Tough.
So tough. Then it's time to sit down and go, look, I didn't write the laws. I don't know that I agree with the laws. But the law says you can't have a beer until you're 21. And you know what? If that's okay. And if you're, you know, like, you have to be a parent.
Agreed.
Hey, Becky.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I'm right here driving down 675. But I agree with Jeff. I think that, you know, the parent role that we play, my mom was a cool mom, and she bought these things called Ciscos because I talked her into it and said they were wine coolers, and everybody was just flat four up. And I just think as a parent, you have to be the role model that, you know, regardless whether you agree with the law or not, you have to abide by it. Because showing your child that you disregard that, then they're going to disregard other laws that they think, oh, well, my mom, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think that buying alcohol is just, it's just a bad role model for them.
And once again, the law in Georgia says that you can provide alcohol for your underage child. And you can do that if you get the permission of the parents of underage kids also.
Yeah, I think if now that I have a child, and I thought differently before I had children, but now that I have a child, I don't know that I would appreciate a parent calling me saying that they're, you know, going to provide alcohol for my kid. I think if you teach your kid enough, they're going to try it. But if you teach them in the right ways, they're not going to get in the car and drive. They're going to, you know, try to...
You hope.
Yeah, I hope. But I'm saying that's my opinion. I think if you train them right, then they're going to try something or not try something, but they're going to probably do the right thing.
See, I'm in the middle. Like, I'm a realist, but I also believe that the laws are there because, unfortunately, as a society, we can't govern ourselves. We have to have boundaries. We prove that. And so I do believe in the law. But a parent is in charge of their household, and I trust whatever a parent has, you know, wants for that household, as long as it's not abusive. And I think the only mistake this woman made was not getting the permission of the other parents.
Hello, Erin.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Doing great. What do you think here?
Well, there was a similar situation like this at my high school, and the mom, most of the parents knew about it, not all of them did, but all the kids came over, they took their keys, they weren't allowed to leave the premises, but everybody knows you can only be so responsible for 20 drunk 18-year-olds, and a couple of them decided in their drunken stupor that they were going to go get up on the roof, and one of them fell off the roof and died.
Oh, jeez. Mm.
So even though they had the parents' permission, like, you're responsible for these people, and when you take responsibility for 18-year-old drunk kids, how far can you really go? You can't watch them every step of the way.
Well, I think you take on that responsibility if that's what you're going
to
do.
Plus, this case with this woman, I would love to know the history. Maybe they covered this on WSB last night, Bert, when you were watching, but how did the authorities find out that this was going on?
The party was so loud that one of the neighbors called, and when the cops came in, they found out what was going on, and the woman explained what she was doing, and that was it from that point.
Gotcha.
All right, last call here. Good morning, Russ.
Yes, how are you?
Good, sir.
Good. I was calling about this whole issue, and I just think that the thing that escapes a lot of people is that whenever you as an adult allow teenagers to drink in your home, it kind of gives them a false sense of security. About 2 years ago, my sister, on her 17th birthday, she was killed by a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. And the guy that hit her was 17 years old also, and he went to a similar party.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother insisted that all the kids stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you're 16, 17, 18 years old, you don't fully understand what alcohol does to your body and how it affects you. And so through this kid, they stayed up drinking until like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And the next day, he drives to go home. And he's driving his car. My sister's walking my parents' dog, and she gets hit by this kid. And here he is thinking he did the right thing because he didn't drive that night, but he still has the alcohol in his body.
No, that's true.
And that's a good point.
Yep.
And they all think they're safe because their parents allowed it to happen. So now, you know, my parents, you know, my sister was killed by a driver like this. This kid who is 17, you know, is in jail now for manslaughter. And this mother who, like, allowed all this to happen, is still waiting for court date, so it affects so many different people's lives. It's just not a decision to make. You know, it's like people are going to, you know, kids are going to experiment or whatever, you know, but by allowing them to do that, you're making a big mistake.
That's a good point, because you are still drunk the next day also.
It's a great point. I mean, But part of me also thinks, well, if that kid went at that party, the kid might have been drinking out the night before. Like, I mean, I don't know. And I'm sorry for his loss.
We had a friend in Arizona who was a cop, and he said that they would pull over, generally speaking, more people the night, like on a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest time to pull over DUIs was Sunday morning.
Is that right? Because like, people are up Saturday night
people
drinking.
Going to church.
Yeah.
Like, they go out, party the night before, come in at 2 or 2.30 in the morning.
Get up at 6.
Set their alarm at 8 o'clock. Hop in the shower, go to church for 9 o'clock mass, and they're still wasted. Yeah.
The sad thing is, like, we get up so early in the morning, and there's been plenty of drunk drivers I've seen on the way here to the station during the week, you know, and those aren't teenagers.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So I was at the grocery store the other day, and I was caught in the web of deception that, oh, that line is shorter, so it'll be faster.
Oh,
so
I always
do that. You're so, like, jockeying. Which one you go?
Exactly.
So
and as
I'll
soon
go
as
in.
You make the switch and get to the other lane, that's when that lane starts going
exactly.
slower.
Exactly. So I'm in this lane of price check nightmare, so I'm standing there.
God.
So it's the you know, and it was one of the opportunities I had to really look at the impulse aisle. So I'm looking at the magazines and stuff and I'm thinking, well, let me get something that I've never even seen before or looked at before, whatever. And I saw this Cosmo girl. So I thought, well, you know what? Shut up. So I thought, I'll pick this up for educational reasons only. Uh-huh. So I picked it up. And
sounds
I thought,
a little Michael Jackson-ish to me.
Shut up. So I have the Cosmo girl. I'm flipping through it. And there is a article in here from teenage guys giving advice to women on signs that they're in with the guy and signs they are out with the guy. So as I was reading.
This is from teenager boys.
This is from teenager boys. And so I thought, do things really change? Do boys really change when they're men as opposed to when they're teenagers? So I wanted to kind of throw out a couple from each signs you're in, signs you're out, according to teenage boys to teenage girls, and see, are things really different with adult men and adult women?
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Well, we have a teenage boy who just walked in the studio.
Hey, that's our teenager.
So he
hello.
May have been quoted in here.
Yeah. All right, here is a sign you're in according to teenage boy. Okay, and this is a quote. If I like a girl, I tease her about something dumb, like her shoes, or I mock stuff she says. I know it's immature, but I don't do it to be a jerk. I do it to break the ice and get us talking.
Now, I think as adults, you're not allowed to talk bad about a woman's shoes, or you're not in, right?
But do guys tease you?
When I tease Melissa about her dumb little sexuality thing, that's
just a way to break the ice.
That's me just trying to get in. Yeah,
really we've seen
flirting.
How far that's gotten.
Yet. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
I would say guys definitely do that.
Yeah.
You know who does that? I think the most is Phil. Mm-hmm. Phil is totally like that. Like if he likes somebody, like an intern or something. Then he totally just starts picking
like,
up.
Like an intern in this studio who doesn't have any kids.
One that's sitting right next to me.
Or something.
Oh, hey, Phil.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, Phil, doing, you've already been
heard
in the
my
studio.
Name. What are y'all talking about?
You've already been in the studio once today, so bye-bye.
All right, thanks, yeah. guys.
We were just teasing you.
We were just talking about how you have a big crush on Jennifer.
Let's talk about this for a second because, yeah, I've already heard that many times. It's very well noted that Jennifer has red hair, and I'm a big fan of redheads. Even more attractive, she's a UGA graduate, which is more attractive to me. And, yeah, she's a hottie. So there you go. Yeah, you want the truth? There you go.
Dude,
you happy?
You are smooth.
When you got game, you got to spit it. So there you go.
How can she resist?
Hey, man.
What's redder right now, her hair or his face?
I know. Look at you, bro.
For sure.
It's been so blatantly obvious from like day one. As soon as she walked in here, you get uncomfortable, and there goes the mouth dry thing going on
yep.
right there.
Poor Phil.
I got nothing.
Jennifer, do you have a boyfriend or anything?
Yes. No, we've already discussed this. Yes, she does.
It's off again, on again, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it today?
Your little Abercrombie boy?
Yes, he is. Well, if he ever comes up missing, check Phil's trunk.
All right. Another sign you're in, according to a teenage boy or Phil Tirana, is when I like a girl, I'm nice to her friends in a non-flirting way so that they approve of me and will put in a good word to her.
I would say guys are definitely like that.
That's more true for the reverse. Like, I think women are the king of they will be buddy-buddy, pal-pal with a guy's friends, and they will suck up to a guy's friends that they can't stand until they get that engagement ring or wedding ring on, and they will dump the guy's friends like nobody's business.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that
I know three different people that has happened to.
You're just mad because they dumped you because you were the friend that they had.
You're the first one on the list. Scratch.
I think in the reverse situation, that's totally true because if a guy is respectful of your friends and pays attention to your friends, you know that he wants their approval. And you can definitely tell when a guy's just looking to hook up because he'll blow off your friends. I mean, if a guy comes over and he's just hitting on you and totally attention on you and not talking to your friends or not trying to entertain them or be nice to them or whatever, you know he's just out to hook up with you and move on because he's treating your friends like crap.
Okay.
So I would definitely say that's true.
Under the same umbrella as friendship, like, I think guys are probably, maybe this was just a me thing, like, I would have been your friend for 6 months. 6 months, knowing that in 7 months, I think I could break you down and start to, where I'd start to look just a little attractive to you. Mm-hmm. But I would guise myself as the friend, as, you know, you call me if you're hurting, you call me.
I'm here for you.
And then on month seven, man, I'd pull a hammer out.
Just out of curiosity, Jennifer, how long have you known Phil now?
Four weeks.
5 months to go.
He's a really good friend. Okay. Another sign you're in, according to a teenage boy, girls want what they can't have. So at a party, I'll play games and talk to everyone but the girl I like. So if you sense that a guy is going out of his way not to talk to you, but he's kind of obvious about it, chances are that he's into you.
That never changes.
Really?
I don't believe that ever changes. I think the game of dating, that the more you avoid her or show her that you're a little standoffish in the beginning, the more attractive she is to, or the more attracted she is to you.
It's the uglier fat friend rule.
What?
Tell me about that one.
Yeah, like, do tell.
Like when you go out to, you know, a group of guys goes out to a bar and they see, you know, like, you know, every group of girls, there's the designated fat chick and ugly chick.
The guy
goes up and talks to one of them. In order to make the hot chicks go, why is he talking to her? She is ugly.
Yeah, that is a technique. Don't sweat the technique.
Jane, look at you.
What are you talking? You didn't know that happened?
I did not know that happened.
Yeah, guys see that, yeah.
That's because you're not on that end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Who's your fat friend, for example?
It doesn't have to be a fat friend.
Don't do that.
Let's say that there are two women at a bar and one is less attractive than the other. Yes, it's a technique to go up to the less attractive one. So the hotter one goes,
God.
Well, what's wrong with me? And then all of a sudden she's more attracted to the guy.
Oh my God, you're evil.
You know which one of your friends you're better looking than, don't you?
Oh my God, that's awful. Jeff.
Seriously. According to Jen, all of them.
Seriously, you on a scale of 1 to 10 and Shay on a scale of 1 to 10. Right. What do you got?
Melissa. Okay. Now, all right, moving on. Now, here are clues that you are out with a guy. Guy's not into you, according, again, to teenage boys. I stop calling her back or say I'm busy whenever she asks me to hang out. Let's face it, if a guy's into you, he'll drop whatever he's doing short of a life-saving operation to be with you. After a week or two of, let me call you back, it's time to give up.
I agree with that.
True.
I think you got to kind of give the cold shoulder in the beginning and be standoffish for her not to think you're a psycho.
Let me give you a hint too.
This is when a guy's not attracted to you. So this is like
if he says, let me call you later. Sure, I'll call you. Whatever, and he's not returning calls for a week, he's out.
Because a guy will never say it's not working out between us. Like a guy just leaves.
Yeah, we just stop talking.
He just backs away, and then you have the "it's not you, it's me" speech, and then the guy in the back of his mind is going, "Yeah, whatever. I ended this 4 weeks ago. You just weren't paying attention."
Or we just start doing moronic things, so you guys have the final confrontation, and then we just take the brunt of it.
That's like sleeping with your sister.
That's the next one. According to Teenage Guy Clues, you're out, and I think Bert has said this was his tactic. It's a little wimpy, but I act stuck up and conceited so that a girl won't see me as a kind of guy that she really even wants to be with. I'll be overly macho or start talking about my ex and how badly I want to get back with her.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are better ways to do it where you just end up like, but either way, the end result is the same. You just start being a jerk so you don't have to be the one to break up, so eventually she breaks up and you can do the, well, okay, if that's the way you want it,
at least
I can walk away knowing I gave 100%.
Or you move to a different state and don't tell her, and then if she can't find you, then...
Right. And the final one, clues that you're out, according to teenage boys, when I want to let a girl know I'm not feeling her, I mention how hot I think another girl is. She asks why I feel the need to discuss my lust for some other girl. I tell her she's like a sister to me and that I just want her advice on what to do.
See, now it starts there with guys, but women do that way more than dudes do, don't you guys?
You're like a brother.
I love you. I'm just not in love with you.
You're like a brother to me. You hear the word brother or sister coming either way, back and forth. You're not good.
That technique does not work for women, though. Because women are too competitive. So if you say, You know, like you would go, if I go and ask Melissa advice about Jen, then Melissa immediately kicks into, I mean, my God, did you hear her bragging about the bowling trophy? If yeah. I went to Melissa and asked her advice about Jen, in her back of her mind, she's like, oh, really? So he's more into Jen than me?
And I'd show him my trophy.
And that's what he's wanted for a long
that's
time.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.